Well, watching from the sidelines across the border from both Jordan and Egypt, Israel. Now, later in the program, we're going to speak with reporter Anthony Shadid, who says for the first time in a generation, this unrest in the Arab world is not about Israel. But today in Cairo, two effigies of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak with Stars of David painted on them can be seen hanging from lampposts. And protesters have been carrying signs saying, Mubarak, what do we have to do to get your attention? Speak Hebrew. Hosni Mubarak has forged bridges with Israel and supports the 1979 peace treaty, which was signed by his predecessor Anwar Sadat and made Egypt the first Arab country to recognize Israel, immediately boosting both economies as the country spent less time fighting each other. But now Israeli officials fear that the popular uprising will be co-opted by Islamists, and that might lead to renewed wars between the two countries, ironically pitting the U.S.-trained and funded Egyptian military against the greatest U.S. ally in the Middle East, Israel. Carl Vick is Israel bureau chief for Time magazine. And Carl, while Israeli officials are worried about this uprising, we hear many Israelis are supporting protesters in Egypt. So what is the view from Israel?
You know, I think it's mixed. I think you have the sort of human reaction, which is, isn't it inspiring to see these people out in the street, the whole people power appeal, the hands across the water thing. And then there's the strategic wariness of the world as they've known it for the last 30 years, which is that they have a basically demilitarized long southern border with Egypt, may no longer be the world that they're facing.
Well, but let's get to the biggest concerns then. The concern that, for instance, the pro-Islamist Muslim Brotherhood will take power in Egypt. Now, everything we're hearing on the ground is that they're a small faction of this very popular cross-the-board uprising in Egypt. But how do Egyptians across the board feel about their country's support of Israel?
Across the board, they do not particularly like it. I think they defer to the wisdom of the leaders. But if you look at polls, Egyptians do not like Israel at all and are maybe among the most anti-Israel of populations across the world.
So is the fear that Islamists will take
into... I don't think you even have to be an Islamist.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think if you are merely a populist, you might think twice about this treaty. Now, it's a treaty, and abrogating a treaty is a pretty dramatic move, and I don't know if a new government would go that far. But Islamism and populism in a Muslim population, look at Turkey, you know, Erdogan is a prime minister, is a populist who's also an Islamist. Mm. You don't necessarily have to want to live under Sharia or take the country in a radical direction to basically have fellow feeling with the people in Gaza, the people in the West Bank, the people who have been living under occupation for 47 years now.
Yeah. Well, and so you're saying that Israel's fears are that any change brought on by the people in Egypt might mean an end to the peace between the two countries. And you mentioned Gaza. Israel and Egypt work together to contain Hamas, which rules Gaza, and also smuggles weapons from tunnels through the Sinai border. We know from your writing the concern there is that obviously there's going to be more weapons smuggled through, but we understand in the interim there's far less.
Right. The crossing on the Egyptian side was closed for a few days recently, and that's the above-ground crossing, not the tunnels. That's the legal above-ground crossing, which is essentially a point for letting people in and out, usually people with medical conditions.
Yeah.
The tunnel traffic is something else again, and there were reports from Israeli officials that already they're seeing more arms coming in. I know that we've seen reports of escaped prisoners who were Islamic militants returned to Gaza from Cairo after busting out of prison after a couple of prisons opened.
We're also reading that people who support the Gazans are complaining that because of the unrest and the shutdown of parts of Egypt, they haven't been able to get product over to the tunnels.
Right.
But as you say, you know, there's just concerns about what will happen next. And then what about the element in Israel that favors a democracy? And we hear things like rabbis telling Egyptians to throw off their chains.
Israel is an extremely diverse and open democracy, and there's no shortage of liberals and left-wingers and people whose hearts are lifted by what's happening in Cairo. But in general, uncertainty leads to anxiety, and the idea of having to remilitarize their southern flank, put a couple of armored divisions down there. It was years ago, I'm old enough to remember, when it seemed like Egypt and Israel were constantly at war. I mean, they were tank wars. So I think Israel is thinking very, very hard about what it needs to worry about, not because the Brotherhood will take over or Islamists or a hostile new government, but the not knowing what you do, the precautions you take when you don't know.
And what are some of those potential precautions?
You just basically would start redeploying and you know, increasing your defense budget if you're Israel, which is right now very much oriented toward the, you know, the threat of missiles coming out of Gaza and Hamas in the Gaza Strip, that little corner of its nation, and then in the north of Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's pretty much what its defense doctrine is geared toward right now. And if you have to basically think about a whole long southern flank along the Negev Desert facing the Sinai Desert, that's a big new operation.
Some pundits in Israel are drawing an unflattering comparison between Barack Obama and Jimmy Carter. They're saying Jimmy Carter will go down in history as the U.S. president who lost Iran, but Obama will be remembered as the president who lost Turkey, Lebanon, and Egypt. On the other hand, if this in Egypt is truly the beginning or part of a pan-Arab movement led by moderates, even the moderate Islamists, as you mentioned, who run Turkey, would this ultimately be better for Israel than whole states like Iran?
It's a little early to be saying anybody lost anything, anybody. I mean, lost it to what? This doesn't appear to be a religious revolution. So, I mean, I would say the jury's out on where this is going and
right.
Who's losing what to what.
But as long as we're just speculating about where it might go, you know, is there anyone thinking, well, a pan-Arab, kind of moderate Arab world is far better than, you know, the other alternative, which is a strictly Islamist world, in, as far as Israel's concerned?
Yeah, I mean, democracy. you kind of, I mean, George Bush called for elections in the Palestinian territories, and Hamas won, but then was never really allowed to show its stuff in office to see whether, to test the theory that if you put militants or radicals in charge, the burden of command and the need to govern will have a moderating influence on them. We don't know what democracy in the Arab world would look like because it's never been allowed to flourish. And I think it'd be really interesting to see what people come up with. I think people are kind of inherently moderate.
That's Carl Vick, Israeli bureau chief for Time magazine, speaking to us from Jerusalem. Carl, thanks so much.
My pleasure.